A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, keep your comments, views and opinions coming into us on the programme at 0667 123 666. Tony McGinley with us on the line. Tony, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us again this week.
Good morning to you, Jerry.
And Tony, there's a query here or an issue here I want to put to you based on something we've been talking about this morning, and I suppose it's to do with attitudes people have and pressure that they feel. It's on the whole area of tipping, Tony. I'll read one comment from a listener, just get your view on it in the wider context of it. We were talking about this idea that people are feeling, consumers are saying they're feeling more pressurised now into tipping when they're out for a meal or in a cafe because of the way it's gone cashless and the person hands you the machine and there's an option to tip. You press red for no and green for yes, and you're kind of feeling socially pressurised to do it because the person is right there. Unless, you know, with the cash way, you just put your money down on the table at the end of the meal and you decided whether you wanted it or not, and you were gone out the door before the waiter or waitress or whoever it was found out whether you're tipped or not. Roisin says, good morning, Jerry. My opinion on tipping is don't tip. It's usually the food establishments or maybe people working in bars that get tips. They're on the same wage as a person who is a cleaner or a person who works in a shop. They don't get tips for the work that they do. If you don't like it, I don't like it if you go for a meal. The person who put your plates on the table expects you to pay them for doing that. I think if you want a tip, it should be up to you to do so. And if they nearly force you to do so by pressing yes or no at the till when paying, don't tip. It's a form of bullying, in my view, says Roisin. That's social pressure, Tony. How do you deal with it?
I'd absolutely agree with that opinion, because tipping is very... It divides society. As you said, the ones that get tipped are the ones that are serving meals. Now, I don't mind anybody getting tipped, but in the States, for instance, I'd agree with tipping because a lot of the people there are paid very small wages and tipping is part of
it. It's worked into their system of how people get paid. It's a traditional thing that's been there for years. If you don't tip, then they're losing out on wages effectively. That's how it works in that country. But that's not in this country. And it's changed. Yeah. The way it's done has changed now. The cash has gone out of it. So that's part of the issue.
Yeah, it's a difficult one, and I think you just have to be yourself, and you know, if you allow yourself to be forced by sort of social norms like that are being built as literally as we go through time, these norms come and go. But if you allow yourself to be forced into something like that, it degrades you. You are degraded by it. So that opinion that you read out there, I would totally, absolutely agree with that.
And so your agency is being taken away. The power of your own decisions, the way you used to do things, is being supplanted by technology, and you're a new situation. You have to stick to the way you did things before. If you want to tip, tip. If you don't want to tip, don't tip, regardless of the pressure you might feel, I suppose.
Exactly. And you know, tip people who you mightn't ordinarily tip. You know, it's not just a taxi.
If you see good service, that's a good point. Yeah.
And, you know, I maintain that there are a lot of people doing very nice work. And if somebody does a job in your house or fix something for you or whatever like that, and they do a particularly good job, they're particularly nice and helpful, that's the person to tip. The one, not somebody, you know, just literally lobbing something on the table before you.
Yeah, and expecting it then, almost demanding it. Okay, Tony, interesting one. We've a query to get to here, and get your queries and comments in for Tony. A listener gets in touch, says, I was brought up with strong and deep religious belief, and these days I find I seem to be totally out of step with many of my friends because of it. I sometimes find the situation very difficult to deal with, and it can be occasionally embarrassing. I don't know whether I should simply say nothing in these situations or if I should speak up for my beliefs. What do we think?
Yeah, that's one that you have to be very sensitive about. I have very strong religious beliefs, but they're also tied to science. And, you know, if I made every conversation bringing something religious into it or making it obvious I'm not happy with the way things are going or whatever, that will, you know, cut you out of that conversation. People will notice that you're being uncomfortable in yourself. And it will lead to, you know, uncomfortable situations, embarrassment, and you know, what you need to do is to separate, you know, the conversation or the meeting or whatever from what you believe. Not that you bury your belief, but again, you know, with belief, you have to ask yourselves, what exactly do you believe? Do you believe in being nice to people, to being friendly, encouraging, and so on and so forth? Or does religion come before that? You know, do you challenge people on, or that's against religion? Now, some people do need challenging. I don't disagree with that whatsoever. But you have to be very, very careful about how you express it. Religion is about cooperation, friendliness, charity, communication, reciprocity, love, and all of those things. It's not a hard, you know, piece of steel for chopping people up with. And unfortunately, that's the way religion, in some places and in some countries still in the world, religion is literally it's almost a political tool rather than what it is, a belief in something profound, something way beyond the human mind, something loving, something caring, and all of the beliefs that go along with it, which, as I say, is being friendly to people, being charitable, communicating, you know, all of that. It's about bringing people together, not dividing them. And if you find that your beliefs are dividing people, in other words, the people you knock around with are being put off by your attitude to belief, you've got to ask yourself some very serious problems. You know, you've got to look and ask yourself, what the heck am I doing that's causing that?
Yeah, okay. Interesting one, Tony. Stay with us with more queries to get to.
A Problem Shared with Tony McGinley on Kerry Today.
Yeah, Tony, query here in from listeners says, our family are all grown up and have left the home. We're not short of money, although we do have a few commitments, but nothing major. The problem is my husband will not spend money on any few luxuries or even on a decent holiday. He seems to be locked into frugality that we had to maintain when the children were young and we'd mortgage and loans and education to pay for. I've tried several times to suggest we buy a decent car or maybe go on a nice holiday, but there's resistance and I feel I'm not being heard. How to deal with this situation?
Well, I'd say my first impression is that your diagnosis has hit the nail on the head. Your husband is locked in to frugality. It's not unusual, because if you're reared in a very poor house and there's not one penny to spare, if you're, you know, when you start your life, married life, and you have a huge mortgage and there's barely enough to pay for the grub, it's not unusual to evolve a very over-careful sort of attitude to spending money. And when you have money, then you're putting it away still in case something happens. And you know, basically, that's a very common, it's a common enough situation. I find a little bit of it myself. I was reared back in the 40s and 50s, 1940s and 1950s, and there wasn't a penny around then. It was just after the war, and there was very little money, and there was very little anything, to be honest with you. But, you know, I've had to fight with myself to break out of that sort of attitude to being over-careful with money. And what I would suggest is you don't attack your husband, because if it turns into a war, it'll go negative. Any situation that becomes, you know, aggressive and you know, it will turn off whatever hope you have of getting through. But maybe it might be time for you to, start taking charge of the money yourself and making some of the decisions, because not that you'd force a decision on somebody, but, you know, you need a new front door or whatever, you know, just go ahead and order it. And, you know, but if you do that too, too aggressively. If there's any aggression in communication, it's no longer communication. We see that on the news every day now, almost at the moment. And it's something that is so common and basic to human beings that the way of getting what you want is to be nice to the person. But if you go roughly at it, then it has the opposite effect. So, yeah, I mean, it's a difficult situation, but it's not too hard to begin to find clever little ways of getting out of the situation yourself. And hopefully you're in a household that shares the finances. In other words, he hasn't a total hold on the finances. And you can begin to, you know, have a few little things like that, or maybe order a little holiday, small one to begin with. Because if you dive in too deeply, you can get stuck. So that would be my attitude towards that.
Okay, all right, Tony. Listen, brilliant stuff as always. Thanks very much for taking time to talk to us on the programme this morning about those issues. That's Tony McGinley with us for A Problem Shared.